Mike Claiborne here, and we are at the Stiefel Sports Studio in Jupiter, Florida, where the Cardinals take on the Houston Astros here in about an hour or so. And we'll be here with Ricky Horton and John Rooney as the Redbirds go after game two of their spring training schedule. Came up a little short yesterday, as you heard Matt Pauley talking about. But as I mentioned earlier, the players that you expected to see or you think will contribute this year, they all did their jobs well yesterday, especially the pitching. The guys who you might want to see in 2027, well, they have some work to do, and it's early, so anything can happen. So we'll see how things unfold with Houston, who lost both games. They had a split squad yesterday. So the Cardinals have a lead on the Houston Astros right now because they're 0-2, and we're just 0-1, if you keep track of those things. And if you know anything about spring training, you never put too much into the records because these games change on a dime with regard to pitching and guys not able to throw strikes. I mean, we get a lot of walks down here, and we get them a lot earlier than what we used to. So be careful in how you judge scores, especially the first 2 weeks of the spring training schedule. A lot of things going on yesterday. We mentioned the Cardinals. Blues lose last night in overtime. St. Louis U wins. City plays to a scoreless tie. We'll visit with Lutz here in just a bit. Missouri, they go down to Arkansas, and it didn't go well there. They come up short. And also Illinois just got the brakes beat off of them by Duke, who must be really, really good. Umpsa won last night. They won six in a row. Webster lost to Fontbonne last night. So I'm trying to cover everyone on the local front. So those are the basketball scores. But having thought about this, and I don't know if it's just me, but my head's starting to spin trying to figure out who's really good anymore. Because, you know, when in doubt, you would say, well, that's Kansas. That's Duke. You know, you always give them that credibility because of the name of the school, not the names on the back of the jerseys. I don't know if that really applies as much as it used to. And as we were talking to Josh Schertz, you know, home court, you know, that's almost gone by the wayside. I mean, look at Missouri and the places that they've gone into this year and beat some good teams. They beat a top five team in Florida in their own backyard. We've seen some good teams come in and play St. Louis U, and St. Louis U normally has a reasonably tough environment to play in. But there were some teams that have come in and have found a way to eke out a win. And I see it more and more around the country. Throw in the fact that unless you are really immersed into that program, do you really know who half these guys are? Because they change up so much with the NIL and going into the portal and the coaches move around. It is really hard to put an arm around a program if you're not with them at the start of practice. Because you look at guys now and you can hear the broadcasters when they describe an individual. He was playing here last year. You know, he wasn't here. And I don't know where that leads us. Obviously, the NIL and the portal have been maybe the most epic game changers in the history of college sports. And I don't know what you do from there. But something's got to change because you can't keep up this pace. You'll eliminate more programs in some schools and just say, you know what, we're good. And then somebody says, well, wait a minute. We don't know if we want to give this up because we have enough documentation that tells you that when you have a successful national program, it does wonders for your enrollment. If you don't think so, go ask them at Columbia, Missouri, when Missouri's basketball team, football team are playing well. And this year it looks like both those teams, Missouri was already in a bowl game, and it looks like Missouri's basketball team is going to be in the tournament. What happens if Missouri's basketball team gets two rounds in? And it just always comes back to enrollment. You know, enrollment is what drives the bus. So with that said, you have to think about, okay, how can we maintain this standard? There's a lot of money being thrown into this. And the TV money does you well. There's no doubt about it. And if you don't have good booster support, now you have to have people who want to contribute to NIL. That's a whole other set of issues with regard to who and how you're going to secure money for all these things. And then you get into the bidding war with the player because everybody else knows he's a good player and they think they have something to offer also. I think the only way I can put it is it's a mess. And I don't know how it's going to be remedied in the near future. Although I will say this. Before this is all said and done, I can promise you there will be some legitimate federal legislation trying to reel this thing back in, because every state has a different contract. There's no boilerplate. There's no what if. It's a mess, and it will take literally and perhaps an act of Congress to get this thing manageable. And the sad thing about it is the only people to blame are the NCAA. They had a chance to do something about this 20 years ago, and they just kept pillaging, doing things they knew were wrong. And somebody sued them. Another suit comes around, and all of a sudden they're on their heels. I mean, I don't think I can. The NCAA winning in court, I think only the Washington Generals, who face the Harlem Globetrotters, have a worse record right now. And everybody knows it. So the NCAA really doesn't have the teeth that it used to. By the way, have you ever heard of a person being academically ineligible anymore? I mean, there's so many things that we don't even talk about with regard to how the NCAA used to do business that is almost comical. And you really ask yourself the question, what is your true purpose now? You know, what do you do well that justifies your existence? I wonder if Elon Musk is going to, send them an email and see, ask them what did they do for the last couple of days. But it's something that we need to kind of look at. And I have to think some real frank conversations have to take place after this basketball season, because you can't keep this up. You cannot. So we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to switch up. We're going to talk some soccer. St. Louis City was in action last night. It was the home opener. I understand it was a little chilly at Energizer Stadium. But we're going to talk with their manager, Luce Vonnesteel. We're going to talk with him in just a bit about his ball club. Just find out, is this season a little too long? We'll find out more when we come back here on KMOX. Welcome back, everyone. We are here at Jupiter, Florida. I'm Mike Claiborne. Cardinals and Houston Astros getting together here in just about a half hour or so. But we're going to talk some soccer, as St. Louis City SC was in action last night. It was the home opener, and their manager is Luce Vonnesteel. And Luke, it's always good to visit with you, sir. How are you this morning?
Mike, I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I'm a little warmer than you, but other than that, I have no other complaints. And I know you have to be happy about the fact that while you didn't get the win, shutting a team out from a shot perspective is something that you normally don't see.
Yeah, I mean, 18 shots for us, 2 for them, I think 5 of us, 6 on target, and 0. So it was pretty clear when it comes to stats. It was that we dominated the game. We had more possession. We created decent chances. You know, I was not 100% happy with the 100% chances we created, but we had a lot of half chances. Overall, it was a good start. I think we played a good game. But what matters is in the end of the day that you score, and creating chances is one thing, finishing them is another. And it would have been, of course, much better to start with a win. However, having a 0-0 against a team which qualified for the playoffs last year, I think it was a decent start, not more, not less, and now we need to focus on the next game.
I know that scoring was a shortcoming for your club last year, and you've been busy this offseason. What do you like about your offense this season as we start this year?
Yeah, when we changed basically everything offensively last summer, in the end of July, when we had lots of players came in, Marcel Hartl, Cedric Teucher, Simon Becker, they all had an immediate impact. And of course, that's the players we are counting now on as well. Cedric Teucher unfortunately couldn't start the game yesterday, just coming back from Germany, collecting his green card, which is great for us as a franchise. So I'm not really too worried about that we won't be able to score goals. I think we have enough firing power up there with Klaus, Simon Becker, Hartl, Teucher, plus Silvio Pompeu, who's back from injuries. You know, there is a lot of guys who can create, a lot of guys who are able to finish chances. But then again, to be fair, new coach, a bit of a different playing style, a bit of a, not a different philosophy, but a bit of a different formation. So it takes a few weeks to really get that all understood and gelled. So we had a good preseason, Mike, and I think what we saw yesterday so early in the season was something we can build up on.
You know, Lutz, when you put a team together, obviously you look at their skill set, but I'm sure when it comes to character and coachable players, that has to be a factor, especially when you have players that are coming from all over the world.
Yeah, that's for me one of the big things, Mike. That's something also with the ownership is very particular about. So when I started the job, I said I don't need a team where we have a lot of show ponies with bad characters who running up and down and think they're the best thing since sliced bread. I want to have players who have character, who have mentality, who playing as a team players. And to have that one or two individual superstars never really makes a team. Football is a team sport. Football is a team where you have to work for each other and with each other. And I think it's very important that you have guys out there where you know they're not just good footballers, but they're also good human beings, good characters in the locker room. And that's what actually brings you together much quicker than just focus on one or two top individual quality players who do not have a great character.
Lutz Vandersteel is our guest here on KMOX. Lutz, I want to, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I've never stood outside for a football match when it was 32 degrees, so I don't know about you, but what's the worst weather conditions you've ever experienced in your profession of soccer?
I mean, I played for a long time in Scandinavia, and trust me, yesterday was a sunny evening compared to Scandinavia in the winter. I also played in Calgary, and not when the Calgary Flames played indoors. We played outdoors at, I can tell you in Celsius, minus 27. I don't know how much is that in Fahrenheit, but definitely minus as well.
Cold?
I think
that's all we need to know,
yeah,
just cold.
Very cold, and I think it was actually nice yesterday. I thought it was crispy, it was fresh. I don't think people were literally freezing to death. They all looked pretty awake after the game and during the game. I thought the way yesterday, if you looked at the pre-match ritual we had with the lights and everything, it was an amazing game opener, season opener, I think, for the fans as well. The only thing we couldn't provide was a goal, and that, I think, was the only bad news yesterday. Everything was pretty good.
Yeah, you had a pretty good run with the exception of that, for sure. One of the things about MLS is the schedule. I mean, and as we're learning here in St. Louis, it's a long season. From where you sit, understanding how this works in St. Louis, if there was something you would do scheduling-wise, with the league, what might it be? Would you shorten things? Would you try to have more home games at a certain time of the year? Would you try and play games in more warm weather cities earlier in the year? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's one very simple answer, Mike. We just have to switch from a normal calendar, which is January or February till December. We have to switch into a FIFA calendar, which means you start playing in July or August. You're playing through till December. You have a little break. Then you finish the season in the end of May, like all the European countries do. I think actually get that calendar adjusted to the European countries makes it also easier to do good transfers, to do bigger transfers on the European market in the best leagues in the world. I think that would give MLS another push in the right direction. But right now, it is what it is. We're playing from February till October, November. If you make the final till December, that's what was done with MLS all the way, and we just have to do what we have to do. As I said, we didn't freeze to death yesterday. Everything was okay, and we need to do what the schedule is right now. So that's fine, but obviously looking into a different calendar would be something to think about.
Lutz, what do you look like schedule-wise for your upcoming games?
Well, next week, a really big one. We're going to San Diego, so that's the new expansion team, the new kids on the block, a team which you do not know what you get. I mean, we watched them in preseason, but they are brand new. I remember that 2 years ago when we played our first game, the hype we had down, it was still called City Park, was amazing. I think it is the biggest game for San Diego to open the account at home next week against us. And then we have another easy one coming up when we go into LA Galaxy, which are the current champions. So two trips to California, both very, very difficult. But again, let's be positive. Let's believe in what we have in our players and look forward to these next two challenges.
Now, in that situation, playing back-to-back weeks out in California, would you just stay out there or would you come back home and try and get some practice in?
No, St. Louis is such a beautiful city, down at our facility. I think that's where we want to work. So we fly out there, play our game, come back and get prepared again in St. Louis to fly out to L.A. We stayed now in California for basically 2 weeks for our preseason before for 10 days in Florida. So I think we've been away for a long time now, especially the players away from the kids and from the families. So I think it's good for us to go back home between the games.
All right. Well, Lutz, as always, it's good to visit with you. I'll see you either at a game or at a Blues game or a Cardinal game. You are one of the great sportsmen.
I'll probably see you at a Blues game again, for sure.
There you go. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. Lutz, as always, it's great to visit with you. Best of luck this season, and let's stay healthy and have some fun.
Thanks, my friend. Have a nice Sunday.
All right, you take care. Lutz Vonnestiel is our guest. He is the sporting manager for St. Louis City SC. And when we come back, we'll have a chance to talk some baseball with the president of baseball operations. His name is John Mozeliak, as the Cardinals and the Houston Astros will come your way at the top of the hour. Game two of their exhibition season. And Miles Michaelis will get the ball. I'll run down the lineup for you real quick. It'll be Victor Scott leading off. He'll be in center field. Alec Burleson will be at first. Nolan Gorman will be at second base with Lucan Baker, the designated hitter. Pedro Pajes is going to be behind the plate. Thomas Ejasie gets a start at third base with J.J. Weatherholt, the Cardinal first-round pick of 2024. He will get the start at shortstop. Matt Kupierniak, who had a pretty good game yesterday, he will be in left field. Ricardo Vlade will be in right field. And Miles Michaelis will be on the mound for the Cardinals, and he will be assisted by a number of pitchers out of the Cardinal bullpen this afternoon. Let's hope the back end of the bullpen is a little bit better than they were yesterday, and we can stay. We don't have to be here all day. But you know what? It's baseball, and it happens. And this is a time of the year where when it does happen, you get it because the weather's good and you have a good environment and you're watching people develop as they get themselves ready to get to the big leagues someday. We'll take a break from the Stiefel Niklaus, Stiefel Sports Studio. It used to be Stiefel Niklaus. And here on KMOX, as we are at Roger Dean Stadium, we call it sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Welcome back. We're here at Roger Dean Stadium. The Stiefel Sports Studio is where you'll find us here at Roger Dean. Cardinals and the Houston Astros will be set to do battle here in just a bit. And for the Redbirds, pretty interesting lineup. And we talked to Ollie yesterday about how he's going to try and stagger the lineup. The Cardinals have a home game tomorrow, and then they're on the road for two. They go over to Dunedin to take on the Blue Jays of Toronto, and then they'll have the New York Yankees before they come back on Thursday. So they're trying to make sure guys get enough opportunities to get some at-bats, see some real pitching. So they'll flip-flop. They'll send two different teams over there on each day, and they'll make that drive across Alligator Alley and go over there and do some business. And on the other hand, they'll have some guys that'll stay back and work on some things. You know, there was a time when you would have these games, you had to take X amount of professionals, guys with big league experience. They've kind of relaxed that rule. So sometimes when you have teams that come from the other side of the state, there's a lot of guys you don't recognize. And that sometimes is a little bit of an unfortunate situation, especially for fans who come down and they want to see big leaguers play. That's not always the case when you travel across the state. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in the meantime, we welcome to KMOX the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Mo, thank you for joining us. Camp is underway. I know it's early. Give me your thoughts from how things started to where we are now.
Well, I think the good news is right now everybody appears healthy from that standpoint, getting in their work, which is always good this time of year. You know, obviously yesterday's game, I think not a lot to take away from it other than both sides could use to throw more strikes. You know, obviously when you're looking at the pitchers that we needed to perform well did, and then some of the younger guys kind of sprayed the zone a little bit. But, you know, ultimately it's fun that we've sort of changed our pace now from just the workouts to now actual baseball games. So that part's exciting. And now it's really about just getting into that routine and you know, making sure that everyone feels good about where they are. And, you know, ultimately we got to see what we look like as a club, who's performing well, because there are going to be some tough decisions at some point. And, you know, whether it's, you know, roster decisions or whether it's playing time decisions, but all those things we have the next 3 to 4 weeks to work through.
There is competition at a few positions on your team. What position do you think the toughest decisions will have to be made?
Well, I think, you know, right now, what's our outfield going to look like when we break camp? You know, obviously, there's two schools of thought here. Do we go with a more offensive outfield, or do we go with more of a defensive outfield? And so those decisions, I think, will be made as we get closer to opening day, but that's something to watch for. And then in terms of how we balance out Contreras' usage at first base versus DH, that'll be something that we have to work through. And some of these answers may come as we, you know, evolve into the season, but as you look at this camp, that's certainly something of note. And then, of course, you know, roles in the bullpen. Obviously, Helsley has a you can call him our closer, but then in terms of like how we set up 6, 7, 8 is still TBD. So that'll be fun to watch.
You know, when you think about your pitching, a good team, you know, with injuries and maybe other issues that come along the way, you realistically need somewhere between 18 and 19 pitchers that are going to be able to pitch for you during the course of the season. So what you see now that doesn't make the roster, there's a pretty good chance you're going to see that pitcher somewhere down the road?
Oh, I think that's for sure. You know, ultimately, I think the key too is like we have some younger pitchers competing for jobs here, and the question might be like, how do we think about their role versus pitching in a starting role, for example, at Memphis? And that's just some of the things that, you know, when you think about decision making, that'll have to be something we think through. You know, ultimately, you're trying to do two things. One is you're trying to give yourself a good chance out of the gate with your club, but you're also trying to wear that hat of the long view of making sure the players that you're using or not using are developing, because Cardinals are definitely wanting to get themselves back into winning ways on a consistent level. And that's not just about 2025, but it's also about future years. And so that'll be something that we think through as we try to have the right answers moving forward.
You know, I had a conversation with Bernie Miklas earlier with regard to how this organization looks. And while people who have not seen spring training and they say, well, the Cardinals aren't spending any money, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, I'm seeing an investment in some other areas with regard to resources and certainly development, whether it's coaches, equipment, things of that nature. How many new faces do we have in spring training compared to years past?
Boy, I don't know that answer offhand, but total new faces to baseball operations, I think, is right around 19 or 20. In other words, there are some people that will end up joining this camp when minor league camp opens. So not everybody's here yet, but, you know, I think as we get into late February, early March, there'll be a few more faces added to this. But, you know, look, we are looking at the infrastructure of our operation where we can, you know, really squeeze more on the margins, whether it's trying to get our pitchers to do more with what they have or add a pitch. There's a lot of, like, internal discussions on just, like, how do we make players better? And, you know, there are systematic ways to do that. And I think, you know, this group that we've brought in is very strategic in that. It's not to say we weren't trying to do that before, but we can be a much more intentional because we have a lot more people to help in that.
We saw the ABS implemented yesterday on a big league level. Were you in the pool that had Newt Barr being the first guy to do it, to challenge it?
You know, I wasn't in any pool, but that feels right.
But if you were in a pool,
you know, like, yeah, I mean, if you think about like a guy that, you know, worked 3-2 counts is probably about as well as anybody in baseball that he knows his strike zone. So I like it. I know it's not going to be implemented in 2025, but I hope fans find it as compelling as I do, and I think it's something that you watch AAA baseball, and it doesn't disrupt the flow of the game. It's nice to get it accurate, and there are key situations where it is very impactful if you can take a ball to a strike or a strike to a ball.
If only Matt Carpenter were around.
Right?
Could you imagine
he'd be another guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Those two together. It was very painless and seamless yesterday. And that was the one thing I was concerned about, how long would this take? And you know what? We had guys that had a harder time throwing strikes than we were able to determine what a strike was. And if that's the direction that it's going to go, I don't think people will have a big problem with it.
I agree. Only thing they could do differently here is they don't sound that alarm. That was a little loud. Like that,
it was so startling. That's what it was.
They need to clean that up.
Exactly. I would wholeheartedly agree with you. All right, Mo. Well, listen, we have another game today. Final question for you. When you watch a spring training and watch your ball club, do you break it down in segments with regard to evaluation? Because what we see on the first day is not what it's going to look like the last day. And how do you measure someone's ascension or decline?
Yeah, so typically when I'm watching a game, I do have access to a lot of the TrackMan data that's being collected that day. That's instant. And so you have a sense of where people are from arm strength standpoint, velocity standpoint, spin standpoint. So that's always intriguing. But I'm also like focusing more on like more of like the second half of the game with more interest on trying to get to know some of these younger players that I'm not as familiar with as, say, like today's starter, Miles Michaelis. And so I really do try to take advantage of the access we get to those younger players. And as you know, from time to time, you'll see me on the backfield, even when a major league game's going on in spring training, just because it's so convenient. It's, you know, you don't have to travel for it. And so certainly want to take advantage of our location and really maximize our time that way.
Well, Mo, as always, it's great to visit with you. We thank you for your time, and let's have a nice, quick, clean game today, and we'll figure out tomorrow when it gets here.
All right, that sounds great. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, sir. Take care. That's John Mozeliak. When we come back, the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, is coming your way. You don't want to miss that right here on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We are here in the Stiefel Sports Studio here at Roger Dean Stadium. And, of course, you're listening to all of this great programming on your voice for the Cardinals, Blues, and City. KMOX. We continue with Sports on a Sunday Morning from Jupiter, Florida, here at Roger Dean Stadium, where the Cardinals will take on the Houston Astros in their second game of their spring training schedule. I'm Mike Claiborne, and speaking of baseball, we're going to have an interview we had a chance to visit with the Hall of Famer. Anytime you can catch up with Ozzie Smith, you always feel like you're a little smarter after the conversation is over, and this was no different as we had a chance to visit with the Wizard. How many spring trainings have you been to?
Man, I don't know, Mike. I lost count a long time ago. And, you know, I missed some there for about a 10-year span. But, you know, I was able to get back. And it's always nice to be able to come out here, and especially coming off of winter where it might be cold and snowy or rainy. And this Florida sunshine is always nice.
It is humbling to be here, knowing what it can be like in other parts of the country. And just the fact that everybody gets together, they've seen each other for the first time in a long time, and they're talking ball, having fun. And we have such a new crop of young players, although they've been in the big leagues, but they still want to learn the game. And I see when you hold court with these guys, they are paying full attention, and that's got to make you feel good.
Oh, it does. And, you know, it's always nice to be able to share knowledge and stuff with the guys. And, you know, you got some young guys around here like the Sagaces and the Wins and stuff. And it's nice watching them develop as players, and not only as players, but as people as well, you know. So coming down here and being able to spend some time with them, and of course watching some veterans too. I enjoy watching Arenado play. I know he's going through some things here with the organization, but he's always been a fun player to watch. And I think that situations like this for players like him, you know, the one thing that we can control as players is how we play.
Yeah, and the fact is, he's a pro.
He's a pro.
And he understands that, you know, when it's all said and done, you still have to come out here and play baseball.
That's right, exactly. And control what you can control, and all those other things will work themselves out.
For you, coming to a spring training, how important was it for you as a player and then as a retiree? How important was that to be part of an organization that has you in, and the fact that these young players look to you? You were looking to older players when you were playing the game. How important is it, though?
It's important. You know, the transition from a regular everyday player to becoming, you know, one of those people that people look up to should have been a natural transition, which it wasn't for me. And, you know, I had that gap in between there. But, you know, it's really been nice being able to get back and do what you love to do, you know. And I love the game. The game has always been a part of my life, you know.
It is your life.
You eat it, you sleep it, you breathe it and stuff. And it's nice to be able to share that with people, because you never get away from it. You know, you take some time off, but you never get away from it. And so I'm just trying to enjoy the time that I have down here. And as I said, watching these guys develop as players and, you know, just share as much as you possibly can with them. And hopefully something that you say clicks with them and allows them to be able to go out and do what it is that they're doing.
You've always had a keen eye recognizing young players. This year, who do you like? Who do you keep an eye on a little closer that you've had a chance to see? And who are some of the guys you've seen that have grown into being a big leaguer?
You know, Brendan Donovan has really been a pleasant guy to watch. Alec Bertelsen, I think, has done. When you look at Alec, you don't think, well,
he doesn't have the baseball look.
Well, doesn't have that look, but I tell you what, he's been very impressive with how he's been able to play the outfield. And I had a chance to visit with him the other day, and you know, he came up as an infielder. You know,
he's a pitcher too.
Yeah, so he's a good athlete. It's much like
we're talking about Alec Burleson, yeah, who's
right
just
there.
Won.
Yeah, you know, like Big Daddy. You know, you remember Big Daddy? He was Big Daddy. But Big Daddy was one of those people that didn't have an athletic body, but
Rick Rusher.
Yes. But he was very athletic. You know, it was one of those guys that was tough to bunt on. You know, he had good feet, was quick, and just very athletic. And he reminds me a lot of that. You know, when you look at him and the way he goes about it every day, you know what you're going to get. He gives you every time out, and that's all you can ask for.
Give me a guy that you're going to keep an eye on this year.
Well, you know, the one guy that we talked about earlier, Segassi, I think, has a chance to be a good big league ball player. He's a guy that asks a lot of questions. He asks a lot of the right questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ask questions, but you got to ask a lot of the right ones. And the one thing that you always look for from a young player, well, any player really, is his work ethic. And if a player that has talent has good work ethic, it'll work out.
Well, I'm standing next to one of the hardest workers I've ever seen, and, you know, hopefully that's contagious as well, because when one guy sees you doing it, then they might want to do it. And that's something that if we have enough of those guys walking around, you never have to police yourself.
That's right. You know, and it makes it easy on the managers, too. Mm-hmm. You know, when your best player is your hardest worker, and, you know, they've got some guys around here. The other thing, too, before we go here, Mike, is Contreras is moving to first base, and I watched him take some ground balls over there. He looks like a natural. You know, He looks like he's more comfortable playing over there. And, of course, you know, time will tell. But from my observation right here, right now, I think he's going to do well over there.
So you're not going to lose sleep overnight thinking about whether he can play or not?
No. I think that, you know, watching him take ground balls, he's got pretty good feet for a big guy. And, you know, he came in a little bigger. He got
a little?
He got
we about to find a rubber suit. Yeah. I don't know if they're heavy those.
But no, I think he's going to be all right over there, and I think now that he doesn't have to worry about calling pitches and stuff, it's going to ease his mind a little bit, and it'd be fun to watch his development.
You know, I'm anxious to see how he looks at the game from that position, as far as how pitches are called and what he would do in that situation and how he positions himself. I think it's going to be a fun experiment that's going to turn out okay.
Yeah, I think we talk about it as an experiment, but I don't think it's that big of an experiment. I don't think it's that much of a stretch to have him go over there and perform. You know, one of the things that I look at from a player's perspective is you know, how's his feet? You know, and he's got good feet, and it's your feet that put you in a position to be able to make a play. So I think he's going to be okay.
Man, it's great to have you here. Make this a lifelong tradition, just hanging out here, man. It's always great to have the Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith. There you have it, Ozzie Smith. They don't make him any better, folks. And the way he is received down here, not only by the fans, but certainly the players who truly have come to appreciate him and his kindness, is something that shouldn't go unnoticed. And so we thank Ozzie for visiting with us and certainly continuing to be the great Cardinal that he is. Speaking of Cardinals, here come the Cardinals in just a bit. It'll be the Redbirds, Houston Astros, Ricky and John with the call. And we will talk to you later in the week.